views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hey, celebrating over 10 years on the air. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. Today's the 27th of February at 7:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, your health, your choice at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Sue's at the helm. Good morning there.
Good morning, Carl.
And we're going to do an update on the coronavirus today too, because President Trump spoke of it yesterday. And
yes.
I watched the press conference. Hello, my name's Carl. I'm starting to become a press conference and debate junkie.
That. It's the only way you can know what's going on.
Okay. Hey, of course it's Thursday and it's Trish Clark and Carl Bott.
Yes, it is, and it's 47 degrees in downtown Reading. High today of 79, a low of 46. On Friday, a high of 73 and a low of 42. And on Saturday, a high of 61 and a low of 38 and a slight chance of showers Saturday night. Back sunny again on Sunday, a high of 59 and a low of 39. And on Monday, a high of 68 and a low of 48. Not any clear rain in the future.
Well,
anytime
if it doesn't
soon.
Rain Saturday, it'll be the first February in history in of recorded city. Of recorded weather history
in California
in
yeah.
Reading that it hasn't rained.
Well, in California, then.
Oh,
has.
In California.
Well, no, I guess it is because it has rained in Southern
it rains,
California.
But in
Shasta
Reading,
County.
In
yeah.
Reading. Well, they're just saying in Reading. I guess it could be Shasta County, but if you go up north, they may.
I don't think we've had rain any place in Shasta County.
Well, it could be.
I think not.
Okay.
Anyway, the weather is always just brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, we have a road report here.
Just a quick road report. A traffic hazard this morning at Elk Creek Rail and Dry Creek Road or there's a vehicle in the roadway. In traffic collision, no injuries at Old 44 Drive and State Route 44, so be careful if you're traveling near Mount Shasta. They did have a fire reported at I-5 South at Abrams Lake Road, and it looks like we've already had fires reported this season. So just be careful if you're out there. It looks like things are going to be rather dry. And, Carl, today, what national day is it? It is Chili Day, Polar Bear Day, Retro Day, Strawberry Day, and it's Toast Day.
When we talk Chili Day, do we mean like chili you
chili,
eat?
Chili you eat.
Oh. Well, if it's polar what?
It's Polar Bear Day.
Polar Bear
to
Day.
To celebrate polar bears.
So that could be the other chili, too.
That's it. As you hug a polar bear and then go eat some chili. And you might want to eat the chili first.
Yeah.
You may not walk away after all. Anyway, enough of that. Okay. President Trump's press conference on the coronavirus yesterday. I watched most of it, and I watched the press conference or the questions afterwards. He brought up the people from the CDC, the people that work on the head of the CDC. He brought up the people that work on infectious diseases, the people that brought up who fight these things. What it was when he brought the lady up, who was the expert on this, she says, you know, she talked about the virus, and she said, what I have to say is not going to be real exciting, but this is how you fight it. She says, you wash your hands. You wash your hands, keep your hands clean. If you cough, cover your mouth. And if you're sick, you stay at home. She says, just like any flu. And the fact that we are rated in the World Health Organization as the number one country able to fight epidemics like this. So President Trump pointed that out. He said, is it inevitable? Is it inevitable it spreads? He goes, no, nothing's inevitable. Well, I disagree on that, but are we prepared? He said we had asked for $2.8, $1 billion to add, to the fight, and Congress had said that's enough, and they gave $8. He says, well, I'll always take money. And he did point out how the Democrats are trying to politicize it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if any time now is, you know, on something like this, we need to be bipartisan. I mean, that's after he took his shots at Pelosi and Schumer. But he said, no, but we need to be bipartisan on this because this is, a crisis. This could be a crisis that's facing our nation. He addressed afterwards people asking questions, and somebody asked, a political question. He says, look, This is about the coronavirus, and let's stay on that. And most of the questions were, they asked about the stock market, and he said, I think it's two reasons. I think it's, it's a political reason to Democrats, but the other one is, the coronavirus is really hitting the supply chain. He says, mm-hmm. and people are timid out there. So he went. The press conference was good. Yes, we have the coronavirus here. No, it's not huge. We've isolated the people that think that they've come in contact or have been diagnosed with it. They have teams mobile teams that are ready to go into places. Hospitals all over the nation are ramping up for something like this. And they addressed the vaccine. The guy said, no, there's no tomorrow vaccine. It's going to take a couple months to try to, to develop it, and then more months to, 6 to 8 months to test it. And then on a larger population, he says in a year, but we'll be ready next year, if it comes around again.
They have one that's ready for a trial. The thing that you have to recognize is you're absolutely right. The information coming from him was accurate. His people were there. What you do have to recognize is that the news media and the Democrats running for Congress or for the presidency are absolutely trying to frighten the American people, because they're saying that he's fired everybody from the infectious health disease department. He's gotten rid of too many people. There are too many people. We're not prepared. He's not taking it seriously. So they are telling another story on the other side and trying to use this politically, if you will, as another opportunity to try to get back at Trump and sink the economy. What I think is the final outcome of this, I don't think health-wise, I think we're prepared health-wise. I do think what we're going to be facing are shortages in certain areas. And there's absolutely no question that when that Chinese market dries up over there, and there's a lot of people out of work over there that are not fulfilling their contracts for parts for things that we get here in the United States. So down the line, there's probably no question that there is going to be shortages in Apple products or mechanical things.
Sure.
We're not going to be
able to. The supply side of it because of all the parts.
Exactly. So that can be something that we might want to pay attention to. There's going to be certain things that are not going to be available for a while, so you might want to think about that. But as far as the health in the United States, I think we're covered. I think, and what we have to recognize, and what people don't think about, is something they never talk about, the amount of people that die of the flu every year in this United States. 8,000 to 9,000 people die in the state of California every year from the flu.
Well, he mentioned that. He said anywhere from 29,000 to 60,000 a year die from the flu.
In the United States.
He said, I didn't know that. Well, USA Today did fact checks, and he said, if anything, he's a little bit high on that. But we've already had something like 20,000 or more die already this year from the flu.
Yeah.
So it's, we talk about car wrecks, we talk about shootings, we talk about all these things. But that many people died in California, 19,000 last year? Is that what you said?
9,000.
Or 9,000 last year in California.
And recognize this is your youth, your babies, and your elder population are the ones that are hit the worst on this. They get into the lung conditions, the pneumonia, they get into the hospital, and it starts with the flu. That's why they always emphasize that if you have a young child with a high fever, you have an elderly person with a high fever, you need to be really careful about that, because their immune systems are not able to handle it. So you want to be really careful during flu season.
And the key is susceptible to pneumonia.
That
could be any age.
That's where the flu
age role.
Exactly.
Right.
The thing that I read an article the other day, and it made perfect sense, and I've heard it before, and I actually practice it. Think about the things you touch as you go through your daily life. Can you use your behind to close and open the door? Can you, when you go into a grocery store, handy wipes. You have them now in the store. Use them. wipe off that handle when you grab that.
That little bottle of sanitary, you know.
You know, I carry that in my purse, and I carry those little handy wipes. And so as you're going through life, if you're think about what you're touching.
We have a big box of those of the handy wipes right here.
I have them in my car, and I have a little handy, you know, carry travel pack in my purse.
Well, you know, the other thing too is, you know, the thing that gets me is the bathrooms, right? You wash your hands, you dry your hands off, but you have to get out the door.
So you have the paper towel in your hand.
So now I what I've done is I just you know, after you wash your hands, you go over, you open the door, and then you kind of like kick the door open and throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know,
I've been doing that for years.
I wash my hands, and, they've done studies.
But a lot of guys don't, Carl.
But that's what the studies were, is that like 90% of women wash their hands, and something like 40% of guys wash
their hands. I know. That's always bothered me.
Anyway.
Guy gets up to go to the bathroom. We're on a date. He doesn't take time to wash his hands. If he's not gone long enough, he's in trouble.
Time to take a break. I want to remind everybody that this Saturday, March 7th, they're going to be celebrating 100 years of service to the community, state, and nation. Yeah, I'm talking about the American Legion Family Shasta Post 197. They've been organized since 1920 right here in the Shasta Post, you know, Redding, Anderson, all of us. And you got a chance to go there. Lunch is $10, but there's all types of information, music, raffles, displays, all of that. That's going to be Saturday, March 7th from 12 to 4 p.m. at the Veterans Memorial Hall. And then the Northern California, Veterans Support Committee also has a fundraiser, and they're raffling off a gun safe, and this is a huge safe, 40 gun capacity, 45 minute fire rated safe. It's going to have a happy home for not just your firearms, but other things like important papers and jewelry and things like this. You keep locked up. And it's free delivery within 25 miles of Jones Fort, and you don't have to be there to win. And you can get tickets from Linda, two Lindas, one at 356-3651 or 510-0162. And this comes from the Veterans Home Support Committee. And these people have done a tremendous amount for our veterans home out on Knighton Road. They provided medical aid equipment, hearing devices, flags, exercise equipment, a shuffleboard, pool table repairs and accessories, all types of things, special events. They're always looking for new members also, so give Linda a call at 221-0101. This is a good event. I've got two of them sitting right here I bought, and if you're looking to do that and get a good chance of buying or of winning the safe, just give me a call, and I'll tell you how to get in touch with people. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back, 7:18 in the morning. Carl Bott, Trish Clark.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of years without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can.
My name is Nick Wallingford, and I have personally known Dr. Paul DeNuca for almost 7 years. I have been a career firefighter for 14 years and have been assigned to countless wildfires, including both the car and the camp. Things are getting worse, but it's not too late to turn things around and prevent that level of devastation from happening again. We need leadership that promotes proper forest management and fire prevention planning. As a neighbor and doctor who has cared for the victims of these fires, Dr. Paul DeNuca understands this, and that's why I am proud to endorse him for Assemblyman.
This is retired Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty. As a soldier and leader, I worked with some of the best men and women in the world. In all of them, I saw a love of country and patriotism that I see in my good friend, Dr. Paul DeNuca. As a doctor, businessman, and patriot, he fights for everybody in our community and continues to focus on important issues, affordable health care, job training, and homeless relief that gets and keeps people off the street. I'm retired Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty, and I endorse my friend, Dr. Paul DeNuca, for Assemblyman District 1.
Paid for by PK Paul DeNuca for Assembly 2020. There's nothing like it on Earth. The all-new Jeep Gladiator. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our cash and Jeep Gladiator giveaway swipe to win promotion. Win free slot play Thursdays at 8 p.m. All winners receive bonus entries. Two semifinal drawings. $10,000. Grand prize drawing Thursday, March 26th. Win a 2020 Jeep Gladiator Rubicon. One of a kind with exceptional design. Purchase from SJ Denim. Details at WindRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, my name is Randy Jensen. I'm here to tell you about Curtis Byron, who's running for Supervisor District 4. Curtis has lived in Shasta County for 60 years and actually in District 4 the last 30. Public safety for the residents of Shasta County is top priority for Curtis, and he will do everything he can to make Shasta County a safer place where families want to live, free from the fear and harmful impact of criminals. Curtis has been involved with making the private sector and government sector work together for the benefit of the community. Cooperation is key to accomplishing goals. We're asking for your vote on March 3rd for Curtis Byron, Supervisor District 4.
I'm Curtis Byron, and I approve of this ad.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
And it wouldn't cost me a dime. You know it's me when I come through your town. I'm going to ride around in style. I'm going to drive everybody wild. Cause I'll have the only one there is around. So the very next day when
hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio at KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567, Carl Bott, Trish Clark. This portion of the show brought to you by Clyde's Enterprises, the original and still the best at 1250 Hartnell Avenue, over 47 years in the business, locally owned and operated by Clyde Pierce. Over 32 years in the satellite business, they're a source for Dish Network, and they sell Sony, Samsung, Klipsch, Bose, all types of stuff down there. And you should be shopping locally. He can beat and or meet or beat big box stores. You don't need to get it from Amazon. Go down and see Clyde's. Again, 1250 Hartnell Avenue, or give them a call at 221-4144. Okay, Trish, it's been in the news lately, really hot on Facebook. There was this flyer that came out. Did you see that one?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody discussing it, that if you're a veteran, law enforcement, gun owner, you know, just went through the whole thing, state of Jefferson, we want to have a military simulation meeting. And this thing is, you know, I got it from a good friend. He says, do you know anything about this? Because he's not a member of the state of Jefferson or anything, but when you read it, because it talks about communists taking over, you know, the state and all these things. So, I mean, it had all the buzzwords,
but it had some things in there that led you to believe it was something right. Not quite right.
So I called Terry Raposa and Mark Baird, you know, who head up the state of Jefferson. They hadn't even seen it. They didn't know what it was about. They tried to find out who this guy was and what it was about, but nobody could find out that it wasn't associated with their state of Jefferson. Well, anyway, it was yesterday.
Well, and it was located on a piece of property that was privately owned. They didn't have permission about that.
I don't even know about that.
Well, I do.
But they went down there, and the guy that's doing it is a guy named Bo Diggins, wearing his camouflaged jacket and sunglasses and a hat pulled low. And They said they saw him standing in the overpass for a while. Then he came down there. And I, frankly, there were more police.
And not very many people showed up.
More police and reporters there than people that participated. But some of the people that showed up, people like we know, Nick Gardner, and said, who are you? And what are you? Are you what part of the movement? And it turns out, he says, I'm not associated with them because I think they're not going anywhere. And I'm just trying to get people's names here. And he brought this ammo can. Well, that was for donations. That tells you something right there. Anyway, he was very noncommittal about what his, you know, was that his real name? Wouldn't show any ID. Were you really a veteran? Because he said he was a veteran.
Couldn't really identify for sure.
Yeah.
Who he was.
Anyway, yeah. So it was a big to do, and like I said, hardly anybody showed up. I was thinking about just going down there to see what this thing was, but I thought, well, no, that might be misconstrued as somebody that's supporting this stupid thing. Anyway, he wandered off, went underneath the bridge, and disappeared. So that's it.
Yeah, it was an interesting concept because there was the people involved in it. I saw it, and it just didn't ring true of the people that had been involved in that movement. And I thought they would the people that normally would be involved in something like that, like you say, Terry and Nick and there's a lot of the people that I know.
The
I
Patriot
checked
groups. Yeah,
the Patriot groups. I checked with a couple of people that I know that go. To those meetings on a regular basis, and they didn't know anything.
Nah,
interestingly enough, they weren't even aware of it, as you indicate.
Yeah, but yet there were flyers in the mail.
Yeah.
And I would have not known about it unless
somebody had it showed up on my feed, and I was looking at it and going, well, because I usually follow what they're doing, although I'm not actively involved in going to the meetings. I don't like to go to meetings anymore. I did that for a long time, and I kind of avoid meetings at all costs if I don't have to.
Okay. Well, Terry's calling right now. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, you two. How you doing?
Going well.
Yeah, when I heard about that, Carl, by the way, that was Mark Kent, not Mark Baird. Mark Baird is in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yesterday my phone was ringing off the hook. I did an interview with the Record Churchlight about this. I did one with Anna over at North State News, Channel 12, Channel 24. It aired last night at 4, again at 5:30, and then at 6 o'clock, and when I talked to Mike Mangus over at Channel 7, and bottom line is that the address was bogus. There's different areas that it showed up on. It was 144 East Cypress. There is no such address. Number two, there was, when you look to the right-hand side and you see the permit number, it's permit number 10. The permit number, we know where it basically was done. I'm not so sure that this Bose fellow was all by his onesie. The flyer did cost some money. The other thing about it was the fact that if you were going to do something and you were an organization, wouldn't you want people to get a hold of you? Wouldn't you want to have an address or some way to be gotten a hold of so people would, you know, join your cause? If you and I, Carl, decided we wanted to do something and have a committee to help the homeless, we would want to make sure that people could call us,
The whole thing seemed bogus from the beginning. And
from the beginning. The thing that's really suspicious about it, and when I talked with the reporters, it was a pretty interesting program. In fact, actually a reporter from KRCR, a reporter from Channel 12, Channel 24, Anna, we all sort of went around and investigated, but we probably can trace back where the flyer came from, learned a lot about how you can do that, but it did cost this fellow some money to send out these flyers that were ambiguous. So I think there's more to it than meets the eye.
Well, somebody yesterday
to do about nothing, really.
Somebody yesterday accused him of being a member of Antifa, that they'd seen him in a video. So I that didn't go anywhere. Okay, hey, I got Nick on the other line, Terry, and he was there yesterday.
I just want to say one thing to Terry. I want to assure the listening public out there that you and I don't hate each other. After our conversation the other day,
I had a lot of inside stuff from her because she's very knowledgeable.
We like to think that we're civilized people.
I said, are you kidding? Yeah. We're good friends, but we can agree to disagree about things and go on.
No,
that's how it should be.
Great.
Nobody gets
with,
absolutely.
Second Amendment meeting, helped us find a facility. No, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
Okay, I got to run. I got to get Nick. He was there yesterday. Okay. Hey, Nick, good morning. Hello, Nick.
Hey.
Hey, I understand that you met this guy. What was he like?
He was manipulative. He tried to intimidate me. and he was flaky. He absolutely did try to insinuate that he's part of our Jefferson movement, and I straightened that out. And he was wearing a wig. He would not provide any ID.
He was wearing a wig?
He was wearing a wig. And that was pointed out to me by three different people. He was, in my opinion, he was sent here by somebody to discredit the Jefferson movement. That's all it could amount to.
How many people were there?
Oh, I'd say 20, maybe 25.
Really? Did you identify any of them?
Excuse me?
Could you identify any of them as being part of our group or part of the real Jefferson group?
The majority of them were citizens that were just inquisitive about what was going on.
That's what
on.
I thought. Okay. You know what? That's why I would almost went to it was, you know, and frankly, I forgot. But
I believe he had about three supporters there to back him up.
Okay.
But they weren't blatant. They weren't standing there with cigarettes rolled up in their short sleeves and tattoos showing. They were around the outskirts of the meeting with black T-shirts on. That being said, he was questioned by a military, an ex-military guy. He says, here's my ID that shows I'm a veteran. Where's yours? Well, he couldn't produce that. He wouldn't produce any ID at all. And one well-spoken young man that talked to him extensively about his so-called military service was leaving, and he come back by me, and he says, I got it. I remember him now. He was at training for Antifa in 2018 down in Texas. I remember that face. And he went over, and he confronted him with his finger right there. You're Antifa. You were in the training video. And that guy took a step back, and he quietly made a sachet and walked off towards the bridge with the news media hot in pursuit, and he wouldn't talk to him. So,
okay.
like I say, he was sent there to discredit us.
Okay. Well, I think that was pretty clear.
Something to watch for in our meetings and what have you. If in fact Antifa is trying to filtrate the area, something we want to watch out for.
Well, you know, that sure gives a lot of credibility to our movement when we get the attention of them and they send somebody from out of the area to come and try and discredit us.
Things that are going on not only here but Oregon and
Idaho.
Washington State, Idaho and Colorado, in Virginia. I mean, there's a lot of places. People think it's just state of Jefferson and California, but the concept is happening in many states because it comes down to two things, urban versus rural.
Lack of representation.
Yep.
You know, they always call Terry and Mark and want advice on how to set up their committees.
Yeah. Okay, hey, we got to run. We got another guest. Thanks a lot, Nip. Okay, this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, locally owned, locally operated, two branches right here in town, 1845 California Street, and at 192 Hartnell Avenue. You can learn more at bankcornerstone.com. And remember, they're there to help you move your dreams forward. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. We're going to take a break. Be right back with Tim Morlock.
Time to glow at the Redding Rancheria Community Fund 2020 Year to Remember. Saturday, March 7th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Since the inception of the fund in 2002, it has granted approximately $3.4 million to the local area. So come join us in celebrating the 71 organizations that the Redding Rancheria has been able to help with a surprise gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund, furthering the help the Community Fund does for our area. So come experience firsthand all the good the Community Fund does and support the tribe.
The status quo has got to go. I'm Dale Ball asking you to vote for me as your District 2 County Supervisor. As a concerned citizen, I've attended countless City Council, Board of Supervisor, and Town Hall meetings. Seeing the need to remove the mess left behind by illegal encampments, I co-founded Shasta Support Service, which has removed hundreds of tons of trash, saving local property owners thousands of dollars in fines. I never dreamed of running for political office, but realized our elected officials should reflect the community they represent. I grew up in Shasta County, graduated from Anderson High School, and went off to earn a paycheck each week like many of you. I believe in evidence-based solutions to improve our public safety. I have witnessed the impact of homelessness and addiction firsthand. I've seen what works and what only enables bad behavior. Are you better off than you were 12 years ago? Has the county represented your interest? I ask you to vote March 3rd for Dale Ball for District 2 County Supervisor. Paid for by Dale Ball for Supervisor 2020.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Welcome back to 3-5 Radio here in the studios at KCNR. She drives me crazy. 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, the only place that Linda goes down, and Trish, you're down there all the time.
Oh, yes. That's my favorite store.
Yeah, you know, you need. Linda says, you know what, I think you need another safe. I went, another safe? She says, yeah, you can never have too many guns.
Too many diamonds.
Or too many diamonds, you know, you got to keep those someplace. And I went, oh, thank you, honey. You know, I can buy a $400 gun, and I'm still far behind in the when you add up, you know.
The little trinket?
Diamond bracelet, $400 gun. So even if I get a $500 gun or $600 gun, it's still not the same. Anyway, but Four Winds Jewelry, they got such a great selection down there, and you got to trust the people, and we trust Rebecca and Henry. Four Winds Jewelry. And speaking of people we trust, we got Tim Morlock here from Advanced Automotive. And we were just discussing, and it's funny, discussing how you have to trust people in positions that you aren't an expert in.
That's right. You've got to find somebody that you have total confidence in.
And then we talked about, I like to call it the Zen of automotive maintenance, but it's not that. It is probably partially that, where you become one with the engine. And I know you do, and your son, you know, get in there. But it's also it's much more to you than just repairing a car.
It is. There's so much more to it. You know, I always say that, even with the advances in technology and everything, repairing the vehicle and the systems and subsystems is kind of the easy part for us because we're working in the physical black and white universe, right? It's either right or it's wrong. It's this or it's that. But there's so much more on the other side of it when it comes to the personalities, the culture, the ethics and morals of not only the shop, but the technicians within the shop and the front office staff. Everything has to come together because we are truly stewards of our customers' safety and their money. Just like the farmer is stewards of his livestock and land, timber management companies, loggers, are stewards of the forest. You know, we have to look at the bigger picture and do what's best for the greater good.
And you can take it even a step forward, forward from that when you get into the more esoteric. Yours is nuts and bolts. I mean, you can fix something, and you have the joy at the end we figured this out, we fixed it. I'm taking care of this family. I'm taking care of my customer. I'm giving them the very best, and I know that from what we've done, their car or truck is going to run. They're going to be safe. When you take it to a step where it's more esoteric, like politicians. I just saw a survey that said most people said they wanted their representative to be reelected, but the rest of them need to be thrown out. And I find that interesting because when you look at the overall ratings of Congress, it's uniformly low, way below, used car dealers and all types of things. I think cockroaches one time were up there right around. So, but it's the same thing when you start talking about that mentoring or that stewardship. We've elected them to take care of us and take care of us in the sense of meeting the needs of their constituents, but also being honorable about it and delivering for them. But it becomes harder because it's not something you can say, hey, I just replaced your valves. Because you do it, it's there, you drive away.
Well, the thing with the car dealerships, because of the advancement in technology, we, the public, really don't know what's wrong with our car. So if we have to have confidence in the people that we take it to, because I could take it in with a noise and you could tell me it's the engine, you could tell me it's the air conditioner, you can tell me anything you want to. And if you fix it and it goes away, I don't know what you fixed.
Correct.
Because I have no way of checking. Now, years ago, you could give me the parts and I could see that it was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could tell something was, the matter. Or I could probably diagnose it myself. Can't do that anymore.
Yeah, it's.
So we have to have that trust.
Yeah, it's pretty complex, and the trust goes a long ways. And when it comes to the trust factor, yes, you have to trust the shop, the front office staff, the owners, the managers. But dig a little deeper into that, the front office staff, the owners, the managers have to have an incredible trust in their technicians and their technicians' ability. So, we look at our employees. We're only as good as the people that we surround ourselves with, that people that we put in our foxhole.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's like the military.
Same thing.
Who do you want in your foxhole? Somebody you can trust. Because we'll run 45 to 60 vehicles through our shop a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very highly productive, very efficient shop. And
that's a lot of vehicles, too.
It is. Well, we have six fully vetted and certified incredible technicians. Best crew I've ever worked with.
You just hired one not too long ago, didn't you?
Yes.
Did I see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
He's got to meet a certain requirement there,
Yes.
And you've hand-raised them before.
Right, right. And we do like to promote from within. We've got two guys coming up the lines right now I'm so proud of what Cody is doing in developing these and writing their job descriptions, their job hats, and getting the communication in with them, for our purpose, our goal, and Cody's vision, for the business. And it's a lot bigger than just being a good repair shop. It's about being a huge part of the community and giving back.
Because there are instances, and I just recently went through on a total another thing with a service at a facility. And the gentleman came out two or three times for the same issue. Mm-hmm. It was an intermittent issue, and each time theoretically solved it within a couple, 3 days, another problem. But bottom line, when we got to the end of the whole thing, it was the same problem all along. He just hadn't identified it. It was intermittent. But I paid for hours of time, the hourly wage looking for this. And it objected extensively and finally worked it out. Because I said, wait a minute, we started back with the same problem. You just kept solving it in different manners. But bottom line, the solution was 2 months later and several hundred dollars in service charges.
Exactly.
And that's...
And you were very right to object to that.
Yeah, I looked at that and went, wait a minute, same problem.
That's a good point. I want to bring that. We got to take a break. I want to bring that up when we get back. First of all, we're here with Tim Morlock from Advanced Automotive, and I'll just give you a personal testimony on this. I was having I thought it was a slight problem, and I thought it was maybe my spark plugs or who knows, because I'm such an expert. I took it down. They told me what it was, and it's a lot bigger than I thought it was. And they gave me two solutions. We'll give you this solution if you want to bring it in, and we'll keep it for a day. And it includes, I mean, it was big. It includes taking my whole cab off the truck to get to it. Or we have this solution that will, you know, that could fix it. And but it is a patch, you know, and... But, you know, until you can come roll through here again. So I took the patch first because I thought, well, if that works, it works. If not, you know. And it's worked. And it's held just like they said it would. But you gave me the two options. And you explained it perfectly to me. You showed me photos. I mean, you know, from inside the engine. You know, they send something down in there.
If it fails again, are you going to have a warning, or is it just going to fail?
No, it'll tell me. It'll tell me. And when it does, I'll drive it down. Yeah, well, I know exactly because I listen to it every day. And I haven't had the problem since you fixed, you know, you did the patch on it. But I also know that this is something we're going to be bringing back this year. But you gave that alternative. It wasn't just or. Yeah, sorry, bring it in. You gave me, or we can do this. And I really like that when I feel like I have a choice. You can charge the hill from straight ahead, Carl, or you can go around the side and hit them from the side. I like that a lot better, you know, as opposed to, yeah, just go straight up that hill. I don't like that choice. So, anyway, Tim Morlock, Advanced Automotive, we'll be right back after these messages.
Well, she ain't in the cars or pickup trucks, but if it runs like a deer, man, her eyes light up. She thinks my tractor, sexy. It really turns her on. She's always staring at me while I'm chugging
along. Experience the life and story of artist and World War II veteran John Schuller through his paintings and memoirs in Turtle Bay's exhibit, Lost Man Blues, John Schuller, Art and War. Open now until April 26th. Learn more about this must-see art exhibition at turtlebay.org.
Hi, my name is Randy Jensen. I'm here to tell you about Curtis Byron, who's running for Supervisor District 4. Curtis has lived in Shasta County for 60 years and actually in District 4 the last 30. Public safety for the residents of Shasta County is top priority for Curtis, and he will do everything he can to make Shasta County a safer place where families want to live, free from the fear and harmful impact of criminals. Curtis has been involved with making the private sector and government sector work together for the benefit of the community. Cooperation is key to accomplishing goals. We're asking for your vote on March 3rd for Curtis Byron, Supervisor District 4.
I'm Curtis Byron, and I approve of this ad.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
My name is Craig O'Mara. I am a senior deputy district attorney here in the North State. I am personally endorsing Dr. DeNuca for California State Assembly. I have known Dr. DeNuca and his family for years. I also know that Dr. DeNuca enjoys a reputation as an outstanding physician who cares deeply about our community and the issues affecting it. Dr. DeNuca is committed to making it safer for all of us by addressing the issues that matter to us, such as homelessness. During my time as a prosecutor, I've seen time and time again how homelessness contributes to the crisis of public health, safety, and security. As someone who has raised his family in the North State, Dr. DeNuca is personally invested in making our community safer. Not only that, but he has both the compassion and leadership skills to get it done. I can personally vouch for his integrity and commitment, and I hope that you will join me in supporting Dr. DeNuca. My name is Craig O'Mara, and I am personally endorsing Dr. DeNuca for State Assembly. This message was paid for by P.K. Paul DeNuca for Assembly 2020.
Our casino relocation project will be a much-needed boost to the local economy. In addition to creating thousands of high-paying construction jobs, With more than $90 million in wages, the project will provide nearly 1,000 jobs. These jobs pay a livable wage and have excellent fringe benefits. These wages will be spent and taxed in our community. I think we all can agree that our community needs more jobs. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Join the adventure in Turtle Bay's new exhibit, Treasure, open now until May 3rd. Learn about the history, people, and technology of treasure hunting and get involved with fun, hands-on activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
I mean, you have a question. Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers here at 7:50 in the morning, 46 degrees out there here on the 27th of February. Reading Home Helpers. If you have a problem and you need some help, it could be an operation, it could be somebody that's fallen, it could be that you're off your feet for a few days, or it could be for somebody for long-term care, give Sharon Clark a call. She'll do a complimentary in-home consultation. She'll work a plan out that works for you. All of her people have, she won't have anybody in your home that she wouldn't have in her home. Let me put it that way. That's pretty, that's a pretty good endorsement right there. Learn more at readinghomehelpers.com or give them a call at 226-8350. And Trish and I are here. This is probably one of my favorite times is when we talk to businesses. You know, like Sharon's business. We really try to circulate a lot of businesses through here at Free Fire Radio. And we're with Tim Morlock from Advanced Automotive. And we're talking about how it's more than just nuts and bolts. It's a stewardship.
Yes.
And you have to have that. And if you know Tim, you'll know that he is a man of great humor, great intelligence.
And great integrity.
Yeah, and great integrity. So, I mean.
Thank you.
Why don't you. And so. That's why, you know, we have no problem, you know, recommending you. Just like we would, somebody, does other type things. Your quote, blue collar jobs, that without them, our society would cease to exist.
Exactly. Exactly.
So tell us, we've heard your philosophy. On about keeping your customers safe and the integrity of dealing with it. How do you instill that in your employees?
It's real interesting that you ask that because I speak with small businesses and primarily automotive repair shops all over the country and Canada on a daily basis, and it's about developing a culture within your business. It becomes the operating norm. So
that's, you know what, that's true because you'll see there was a unit in the Marine Corps that had a battalion size unit that had a reputation of not being a very good unit. And you wondered why, because you knew some of the people in it. They were just outstanding people.
Sure.
So why weren't they working at the same level? And then it turns out that it's something that had been going on for decades. So it's strange that, even, as you rotate people through, that there was still maybe it was vestiges from the other that kind of like was inherited by the new group and it was still there.
Yes.
But what you're saying is it's the whole thing is the culture of it.
Right. Right.
Behaviors that are not norm that become acceptable. And they pass on.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? I mean, you see that in every pretty much every walk of life anymore, and so
too much of it in most of our culture.
So if you walk out in front and lead, you're going to be alone for a while, but pretty soon people will start seeing like they've got something.
Well, then you lead your people in that same same direction. I mean, there's times when people want to cut corners. I mean, it just happens. You know, they've been pushed. It's been a long day. But having that instilled in them where, you know what, I'm just going to get help or I'm just going to just come back tomorrow instead of slapping something on.
Right, and that's never acceptable, and our guys know that. And the ladies in the front office do a phenomenal job about communicating that, you know, to the customers and clients. Okay, we've ran into a little bit of an issue. It's not going to cost you anymore because we have an agreed upon price. When you sign a repair order or an estimate, that's a legal and binding contract. So you can't walk in and all of a sudden the bill is $30 more or $300 more than what you agreed upon. So there's steps that shops and businesses use to protect themselves and notifying the customers and getting authorizations.
Once you get into the job and you find that, whoa, here's something that we didn't anticipate, we didn't see, before you can proceed with that, you need to notify the person and say, wait, we've run into this. It's going to cost you this much more. You can't just go ahead and do the work.
Correct.
And then after the fact.
Yeah, and at that point in time, if the customer says, no, I can't afford that, I can't do any more than that, because you had a tear down and inspect estimate. Okay, tear down and inspect estimate also means, in the state of California, and I support it 100%, somebody needs to look out for the consumers. But if you have a tear down and inspect estimate, and you get in there and you find something that's catastrophic or really bad, and the customer cannot proceed for whatever reason, you have to restore that vehicle back to the same condition it was when it came in. Okay. So that way.
So if it was running, it has to run.
Yeah, if it came in running with a noise or with a, you know, losing a lot of coolant, and we had a tear down and inspect estimate for this, this, and this, we do our tear down, we do our inspect, then we communicate with the customer what we tested, what we found, what it's going to cost. And if they say, nah, can't do it, then at that point in time, no harm, no foul to us, we reassemble the vehicle back to the condition it was when it came in.
Well, here's an example. When you're down in there looking, when we do the repair, Cody also said, you know, your timing chain is it's time for that to be changed. He says, as long as we've got it apart, it's only going to cost you like $125.
Yeah, it's just parts.
It's just parts to stick in there because they've already got it apart. Now, see, I appreciate that because that could be something that I need
down the line.
Down the line,
and then
they've
got to
go all over again.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
exactly.
But see, and so there's where you have to, you know, you get that phone call. And yeah, it's a little more, but you know, but it's explained why you need it and all these things. So we don't have a lot of time left, but I think we got some really important parts here.
Good.
If you're going to any type of business like Alliance Heating and Air, I feel the same way. They you know that you do. They train their people, and you know they also want to make sure that their customer's happy and that they've done the service. You're looking at a quality of not just repair, but of a mindset,
right?
Of there to help, and one of, how did you put it, of service, but not service. It was
Money is a byproduct of good service.
Right.
Focus on the service. Don't worry about the money. I mean, the money will be there.
Yeah.
Okay. And developing the culture of care and concern and stewardship for your customer.
Stewardship. That was the word.
Is primary.
And this is a good opportunity to point out to people that have young children that just be thinking about the trades. As opposed to going to college. And not everybody is a college student, and not everybody needs to go to college. But there are all kinds of service industries out there, heating and air, plumbing, electricity, auto repair, that need people. We need people to train for those. And those opportunities are there, and we just don't have enough people to fill
them. A good living wage.
Good living wage.
Absolutely.
Good, reputable jobs.
Right.
Don't require a college education.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because we talk about trades very quickly. In our industry, it is a very popular opinion that there is a shortage of technicians. I only agree with that on a limited basis. When we go to hire a technician, you'll find that depending on what the culture that you've developed in your business, your name, your reputation, both your physical reputation, your online reputation, because it's huge now.
Yeah.
The good technicians find you. We do not have a problem finding technicians.
Okay.
That's good
important.
To know.
Okay, Tim Morlock, Advanced Automotive. Tell everybody where you're at.
5756 West Side Road.
Now, you're in the back there, so there's what's that business right there?
Right out in front of us is Fleet Pride Truck Supply Parts Warehouse.
Right there. And you drive past that, and you go back there, and you're going to be taken care of, and you're going to be happy that you stopped through there.
Absolutely.
Tim, thanks a lot for coming in today.
All right. Thank you so much.
Always nice.
Hey, when we come back, we've got two gentlemen that are going to be talking about Measure A, about why it's a great idea. We'll be right back after these messages and the news.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jeremy House. The South Korean and U.S. militaries have announced they're postponing their annual joint drills due to concern about a viral outbreak that has infected soldiers in both countries' armed forces. Colonel Lee Peters, a spokesman for the U.S. forces in South Korea, says the outbreak is a serious situation.
In light of the ROC government's declaration of the highest level severe on COVID-19, the ROC-U.S. alliance made the decision to postpone the combined command post training for U.S. ROC Combined Force Command until further notice.
The U.S. military closed some amenities at several bases and was urging its personnel to avoid handshakes and large gatherings if possible. Leaders puzzling over how to keep a new virus from spreading are taking new steps around the globe to try to limit the illness's reach. Some countries are warning people to obey containment measures, with Singapore prosecuting a couple it says lied about their movements, and South Korea passing newly strengthened punishments for those violating self-isolation. Thousands of people have gathered outside the nation's capital for the annual Conservative Political Action Conference.
Once again this year, CPAC is attracting top figures in the Republican Party and the Trump administration in a bid to motivate conservatives in this election year. GOP Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee urged attendees to re-elect President Trump and put more conservatives in Congress.
Join us in this fight. This is a year to show our strength.
The theme of this year's CPAC, America versus Socialism. Greg Clugston at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Oxon Hill, Maryland.
Americans have widespread concerns about the security and integrity of elections. An AP poll says few have high confidence that votes in the 2020 presidential election will be counted accurately. On Wall Street, the Dow is off 524 points. The Nasdaq is down 210. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-600-3010. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-600-3010 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-600-3010 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-600-3010.
Senate Republicans have reaffirmed their support for Attorney General William Barr.
Barr attended this week's GOP luncheon, which doubles as a policy session. Some had been fearing Barr may be about to resign amid the political complexities of his role and unending assaults by the left. Barr also recently said the president's tweets on sensitive topics sometimes make it impossible for him to do his job. After the meeting, Judiciary Committee Chairman Senator Lindsey Graham told the press Barr got a warm reception from senators and said there's widespread appreciation for the job he's doing. Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
A measure to grant funding to eradicate the invasive swamp rat known as Nutria has passed the U.S. House. Louisiana Representative Garrett Graves co-sponsored the bill that supports allocating money to states battling the invasion of the rodent. Nutria are known for nibbling on tree roots and causing erosion to land and marshes. The swamp rats are native to South America. News and analysis at townhall.com. Israel is restricting travelers from Europe and Asia due to the outbreak of the coronavirus. The latest from the Media Line's Lawrence Rifkin.
Israel is barring entry to foreign nationals arriving from Italy, adding it to a list that already includes such countries as China, South Korea, and Japan. The move, announced on Thursday, came as the health ministry said an Israeli who recently returned from Italy was confirmed to have coronavirus. The ministry is informing Israelis returning from Italy that they must self-quarantine for 14 days. It has also taken what is said to be an unprecedented step by advising citizens against leaving the country for any foreign destination unless the travel is absolutely vital. When asked whether the recommendation was not a bit harsh, the director general of the ministry essentially said, better safe than sorry. I'm Lawrence Rifkin, Town Hall News, Jerusalem.
News and analysis at themedialine.org and townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, the revolutionary radio station. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. We're just talking about revolution today. And a strange fellow that came into our town yesterday. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. It's the 27th of February, 2020, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, your health, your choice. I'm here, of course, with Trish Clark. Good morning, Trish.
Good morning, Carl. And it's 51 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 79 and a low this evening of 46. It's going to be sunny and on Friday, mostly sunny, getting cloudy in the evening, a high of 73 and a low of 42. Saturday, partly sunny and a slight chance of showers Saturday night, high of 61 and a low of 39. And on Sunday, mostly sunny. Sunday night, mostly clear, a high of 59, a low of 39. And on Monday next week, heating back up, 69, and a low of 46. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, we were when I talked about the revolutionary, there was it was in the papers and on the news, and we've been talking about it for two or three days about a meeting for all those former military gun owners about the communist takeover of California and how there's going to be a group meeting. As it turned out that the meeting was yesterday, we had people already calling in that were there, and the guy that was that called this thing was kind of specious that. Wore a wig, said he was in the military, yet couldn't answer questions. The whole thing, he tried to tie to the state of Jefferson and the state of Jefferson leadership, so we know nothing about this guy, and that it was a specious type of gathering. So I thought that was interesting.
Kind of interesting.
But a lot of people were wondering about it. They were glad we talked about it.
Well, I think because there's no question. If you read the document, it was just something not quite right. There was things that were there, lack of information that would have been there if it was legitimate, just something that just didn't ring true.
Yeah, and it wasn't. Okay, we're here today with Steve Davidson and Dr. Greg Greenberg, two advocates of Measure A. I heard Dr. Greenberg speak before when we did the Cascade, when we did Seattle's Dying, and I wish everybody could have heard him speaking that night, so I'm really glad that you're here today. Doctor.
Well, thank you.
Here, pull that up there a little bit closer to you and talk
right
to
up,
it.
Right up close to personal.
You too there, big guy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Trish, and good morning, Carl. Thanks for having us.
Well, you know, we were just talking with our last guest about this, and he had questions and about Measure A, and he said he was going to be listening to the show on his way back to Advanced Automotive.
There's been a lot of negative language thrown out about Measure A that gets people wondering because they're making statements like they won't identify exactly how many beds there's going to be and this money can go here and yon and this is going to happen and they've got unfunded mandates and they've got this and they've got that and it's clouding the actual issues of what Measure A is, what it can do and how tightly wound it is that it's going to do exactly what it says it's going to do.
You know, the first question is, we had somebody on the other day who says there's nothing in the document that says a new jail is going to be built. How would you address that?
Well, all I can tell you from attending the town hall meetings and knowing all of the presenters personally, or at least indirectly I know them, I think that there will absolutely be a new jail. It's going to be a tower that's already conceptually on paper, and it's going to be right next to the existing jail. And there's going to be about $15 million a year for the next 20 or 30 years to make that happen. So why anybody would question that, I think I just don't think it's reasonable to question that. And my biggest issue with what you're saying is all of these people that are questioning these different aspects of Measure A have no plan themselves. And I have yet to hear another plan of any substance that will make a difference in what we're trying to do.
The only plan they have is just build the jail. That's all we need. Just build the jail. And that, which doesn't take into consideration the fact that it's a system. You've got to feed all the parts of it or it isn't going to work.
I want people to ask themselves when they go into the voting booth on Tuesday, what will work? Not what sounds politically correct, not what might prevent it from happening, but what will actually work. And I would love Dr. Greenberg to talk about Measure A as it pertains to drug addiction in our community, because that's one of the hot issues that we're trying to deal with.
When you figure out that, when you looked at Seattle Dying, they're saying 90% or more. Well, I think they even said, a couple of them said 100% of the problems they're having in Seattle, which is magnified over what we have. Even though it's a much larger city, it's a much larger problem. Is related to drugs. Doctor, welcome aboard here. It's your first time.
You.
I hope it's not the last. Tell us what you're, tell us who you are and what your background is and what about the drugs.
Sure. So I was originally trained in family medicine, but I've spent the last 15 years working in the emergency department at Shasta Regional, among other places. Mm-hmm. And then for about 4 or 5 years, I've also been doing addiction medicine because I've been seeing people with problems with addiction with really nowhere to go as far as treatment. And on the outpatient basis, we've really been working on trying to have more and more available as far as treatment. When you look at the homeless problem, it's a lot more complex because most of the homeless do have substance use issues, but it's not all cause and effect. So a lot of the homeless you'll see end up using methamphetamines while they're out on the street to try to stay awake so that they don't get abused or get their things stolen. So addiction often plays, even after they become homeless, that it's a really large part of it. But the bigger issue is once people are out on the streets, once people have substance use disorder, what's the next step? Because as we talked about in the Seattle is Dying, is that part of your brain takes over and you end up losing control to your addiction at some point. And so someone needs some kind of a push. Now, ideally, that push would be having robust treatment where people could go get housing, get treatment. It's just not something that's available. And so that's why I think Measure A is a good thing, just in the fact that we'll have something as long as it's tied to treatment, because incarceration itself isn't going to work. It has to be incarceration and treatment for substance use disorder.
And I think that's the big part, is once you have somebody that's been stealing over and over and over again to feed this addiction, they're obviously not coming in for help on their own. That the idea, once they're in jail, that then you can start a treatment program for them. And some people have said if they don't want to do it, even if you're forced, you know, and it's forced on them in jail, that it's got to be something they want to do. What's your answer to that?
There's a certain extent of that. So if someone's not ready to try to quit using, they're not going to quit. But there's also a certain amount that if you get people started, sometimes it just takes a few times of hearing the same thing, of getting the push to do it. So sometimes if you're at least forced to go to groups, forced to go to NAA, forced to go to whatever it is within the system, that at some point, hopefully that kicks in. It doesn't work for everyone. The best success is when people are going voluntarily and deciding that they've had enough. But a lot of times they're not ready to be there until they can get the treatment started or until they can get at least off of the substance they're using.
But if they are incarcerated, that certainly can give them a step in the right direction, because they're hopefully not going to be able to get the drug for however long they're incarcerated.
Yeah, and I've had plenty of patients who that's how they got clean, is they went to prison, they got incarcerated for a while, and they had to get clean. But the key is then they have to have treatment once they get out. We have to make sure that we have connection to services, not just within the jail, but after they get out as well.
So do you, I'll tell you what, it's time for a break, but when we come back, they used as an example, I think it was Rhode Island, that about the methadone treatments for people that were on heroin and other types of treatments there that were a success. And I'd like to hear your ideas on methadone and substitutes okay. for things like this. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy Maxwell has been doing this since 1993. We wholeheartedly recommend Judy and her company if you've got any type of insurance needs. She also has a financial branch that can also help you during this time when the stock market is like crazy going up and then all of a sudden it's dropped 2,000 points because of coronavirus, or if you listen to President Trump, who is running on the Democrat side of the ticket. But Maxwell Insurance Financial doesn't get into that. They just get into what's right for you. Give them a call at 221-0441 or stop by at 1378 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back with Steve Davidson and Dr. Greg Greenberg.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard the knocked out jailbird sing.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Perry, OBGYN, physician, and have practiced in Reading for over 38 years. We need unity more than ever in our divided political arena. Dr. Paul DeNuca is the candidate for State Assembly District 1 to make this happen for the North State. I have known Dr. DeNuca professionally and personally for many years and can attest to his excellence in medicine, excellence with his patients and medical colleagues, and integrity as a person and a family man. He desires to make our communities great by supporting law enforcement, public safety issues, and helping to solve the crisis with homelessness. I endorse his platform with lowering taxes, encouraging more higher education to come to the North State like a UC campus, and lowering health care costs. We have a medical crisis in the North State with lack of medical providers in our area. Dr. DeNuca plans to address these issues, and in doing so, he feels this will help stimulate economic growth. I strongly urge you to vote for Dr. DeNuca on March 3rd. This message is paid for by P.K. Paul DeNuca for Assembly 2020.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Many people may not know that we started a propane tank refurbishing business about 5 years ago. We pick up tanks from various propane companies, bring them to our yard in Anderson, where we blast the old paint and rust off, repaint them with a very durable paint, and then install new valves. The tank is just like a new tank. We primarily sell these tanks in truckloads of 45 to other propane companies. I'm telling you about our new business because many of you are installing generators because of the probability of the power being shut off this summer. Shasta Gas Propane now sells standby generators and propane tanks so that you won't be left without power. Give us a call at 365-3793 so we can come to your house and give you a quote on a generator and tank. Again, that's 365-3793.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern California's premier retirement community. That's right. Located near the Turtle Bay Exploration Park, Sundial Bridge, as well as close shopping in the Hilltop and downtown Redding. The staff includes a gourmet chef. So when you're talking about River Commons Senior Living, you can kind of like let loose of things like what's for dinner, what's for breakfast, what's for lunch. Is somebody going to break into my car? Is somebody going to come into my house? Because it doesn't happen at River Commons Senior Living. You have a great place to live. You have friends. You have it all in one spot. And if you want to travel, it's a great place to leave your stuff. And one more thing, they are very pet friendly. So you want to learn more about River Commons, give them a call at 238-5981. It's River Commons Senior Living. Talk to Brian or one of the other great people there and arrange a personalized tour today. We're here with Steve Davidson and Dr. Greg Greenberg. Steve is retired law enforcement. I've seen things written, you know, because on Facebook where Steve will put down, you know, this is a good idea for Measure A. And people will, this one person said that you just want to keep your bloated retirement pay. I mean, I thought that was kind of a cheap shot. And, I mean, because it was like.
And bottom line, you're going to keep that anyway.
Bottom line is Steve's going to get paid whether Measure A is there or not. Before we left, I asked Dr. Greenberg about methadone and that type of treatment. What's your opinion of this?
So we know it works. Medication-assisted treatment. And if you look at studies, and that's basically how we practice medicine, is by science and by evidence. So if we go with opioid use disorder with the way we used to do things, which is NA, abstinence, study after study has shown that the numbers are pretty low. Somewhere between 5 and 15% are still abstinent, even when they get through the withdrawal period in a month or two. So it just doesn't work very well. But when you look at medication-assisted treatments such as buprenorphine, which is Suboxone, or methadone, we know it works. The numbers, if you look at methadone, somewhere around 70% at a year. Buprenorphine, somewhere around 60% at a year. But we've actually seen a lot of clinics who've had better numbers than that.
And how long do they have to stay on the methadone, or is that forever?
So that's a great question. Any other questions? So it's actually a lot more complex because you have the changes that happen in your brain that basically your brain is telling you that you need this medication to survive or this drug to survive. After a certain point, the hope is that we can get you to the point where you can deal with life without using substances. And so hopefully eventually we can get people off of it, either methadone or buprenorphine. Some people, like I've had patients who've been on heroin for 30 years, probably will never get off of methadone or buprenorphine. But I've also had plenty of patients, young people, 19-year-old, for example, that was on heroin for a year. My plan on him was to get him off of buprenorphine, which I did. So it really depends on the individual.
And can you do it by decreasing the amount over a period of time?
Yeah, you have to wean it off. You can't just stop it. We do know that when you stop it, there's a fairly high rate of relapse. And so the other part that's essential that hopefully we're going to get to in this county, as many other places have, is where when people need help, they can be seen that day or the next day. And so, for example, at Mercy, they have the Bridge program where people will get started on buprenorphine and then be able to be seen within a couple of days at a local clinic to continue their medication.
Okay. One of the things you explained during the speaking when you spoke at Cascade was that part of your brain that, you know, goes with happiness.
Yeah.
And could you just kind of quickly talk about that?
Yes. You can't talk about addiction without talking about the nucleus accumbens. Don't worry, there's not a test. But that's the part of your brain that's just the reward system in your brain. And it's designed so that you do things that help you as a being. So you eat, you feel good. You have sex, you feel good, you reproduce, and that helps basically continue your species. So it's that part of your brain is designed to do things that make you feel comfortable, make you feel good, to make you survive as a species. What happens is drugs hijack that area and make you feel good far beyond anything you could in normal life. So, for example, if you go out and you have a really good dinner, you may go up to 200% of the normal levels of dopamine, or you do something that you really enjoy, maybe even a little bit higher than 200%, but that's about all you get in real life. If you drink alcohol, you can get to about 200 to 300%. If you look at cocaine, you look at heroin, you can get up to 500%. Mm-hmm. So far beyond anything in life, any enjoyment, any pleasure you've had in life, those drugs will take that area of your brain and then will jack it up. The number that always scares me is if you look at methamphetamine, that's 1,100%. So I never understand when I see people who just start using methamphetamines, when you see all the people who've used it and the toll it's taken on their body. But when you understand that, add in adverse childhood experiences. Maybe you grew up in a family with people with addiction. Maybe you had some kind of trauma as a child. And then all of a sudden you have that setup for addiction. And then on top of that, you look at the biggest problem when it comes to addiction, which is also related to our mental health issues, and I think related to our societal issues in general, are social connections. If you don't have those social connections, you're a lot more likely to get substance use disorder. So there was a study that a lot of people know of that was done, I think, back in the 70s, where they took rats and basically they had the ability to push a button and get cocaine, essentially, into their brain, the same kind of effect. And they would push that button until they died. And so that's a famous study that a lot of people know of, that basically they've shown in mice or rats, I don't remember which one it was, but that they could actually basically keep going for that pleasure to the point where they don't survive.
I remember what you said was, if you're living at 1,100% of happiness in your brain and then you're off it, I mean, now that's a part of your life. You need to have that. If you just go down to normal, you are tremendously unhappy. You think your life is totally lost in all this because you're just normal, because you don't have that constant 1,100% of dopamine into your system. And I think you can kind of start understanding then why so many people, when they get on it, they don't want to get off it because the rest of their life sucks.
Yeah. Well, and the problem is they don't go back to normal. They go down below, far below normal. So you'll hear people with addiction say, I'm just using to feel normal. So because they're getting to the point where those dopamine levels are so low that they feel so horrible that their brain is telling them the only way they're going to survive is to use. So even though they know better, their brain is telling them that, and it's that deep part of their brain that's responsible for their survival is telling them, this is the only thing that's going to make you feel like you can survive.
So that tells me then, is somebody trying to quit that on their own, it's very, very, very difficult.
It is.
And so why you need to intercede. And once you can get them into a controlled environment.
A lot of people do reach a point where they reach their rock bottom, where they decide to get treatment. And so it is there. There are a lot of people who've been on drugs and who've managed to get off of them. The problem is sometimes that doesn't happen before they die. And we're seeing a lot of young people dying from either drugs or related to issues related to drugs, with medical problems by the drugs.
Well, because the drugs impact your body, and so we're getting heart attacks and strokes and all kinds of other diseases in young people that we never saw before.
Yeah.
But it is because of the deterioration of the body based on the drugs.
We're going to we're going to take an early break here, and because I want to come back to Steve and talk about this, about the measure. This portion of the show, you know, of all things, where it's being brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, who has a 21 bed facility, maybe it's bigger now, for people that are dangerous to themselves or the community, the one they call the 5150s. They can keep them there for 72 hours and then longer if the judge or a court says, yeah, you can keep them, to try and get them back being stabilized on their drugs. This is the only hospital that's got this around here, started last year, I believe. Just another reason, among the other things, the other great things about Shasta Medical Center that's for our community. Remember, it's your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. We'll be right back, 8:28 in the morning, 51 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day, going up to 80 degrees today. We'll be right back.
He thought he was the smartest guy around. Well, I found out last Monday that Bob got locked up Sunday. They've got him in the jailhouse way downtown. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. Well, I told him once or twice to stop playing cards and shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now.
Out here, there are many jobs to do. You need the kind of power, versatility, and comfortable handling that comes with your territory. Luckily, there's a tractor built to pull all that weight, the Kubota L-Series. Get an L-Series tractor for zero down with 0% APR financing for 60 months, plus a 6-year limited powertrain warranty. Now through February 29th, 2020. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Come on down to NorCal Tractor and Equipment, your new local Kubota dealer.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
It's the President's Day sales event at Reading Kia, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Get $2,500 Kia customer cash instant savings on the 2020 Kia Optima LX. And nominate your favorite teacher at the dealership in our Cash for Kids Classrooms promotion. No purchase necessary. Winning teacher gets $1,000 for their classroom. Details and entry form at Facebook and ReadingKia.com. Sale ends 2/29/2020. Reading Kia. ReadingKia.com.
Megan Daly is leading efforts to fix what's wrong in Sacramento.
I'm pushing to hold utilities accountable so we can always keep the power on, prevent deadly wildfires, and ensure wildfire victims get the help they need to recover.
Megan Daly is leading efforts to solve the homeless problem. She's working hard to get those who are a danger to themselves and others off the street. Assemblywoman Megan Daly will protect Proposition 13.
Count on me to stand up to the liberal power brokers and special interests who want to raise our taxes through the roof.
Megan will push the federal government to pay the cost of keeping illegal immigrant criminals in state prisons and expose corruption and fraud by using independent audits.
And I'll work to make health care and prescription drugs more affordable.
Assemblywoman Megan Daly, endorsed by the California Professional Firefighters and Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Get California back on track. Megan Daly for Assembly. Paid for by Megan Daly for Assembly 2020.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studio. It's KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Orchard Nutrition. Orchard Nutrition, they are focused on health. They are focused on ways of helping you. They know what works, and that is having things that are 100% certified organic from the ground to the vegetables, to the beef, to the chickens, to all of this that they sell there. Everything is 100% organic produce, organic grocery selections, their supplements, all of this. They have people there to help you make a wise decision for you. It was started in 1982 by Joe Martino. Just for that reason, the staff is trained. They have free monthly health seminars. It's a one-stop shop if you want vitamins, supplements, or food. They even have a deli that everything there is 100% organic. All of this at Orchard Nutrition in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. We're here with Steve Davidson and Dr. Greg Greenberg, and we're talking about Measure A. It's easy to look back and say this has happened. But if we're going to address what's happening now and in the future, this is what I'm looking at. And we're looking at a measure, and this is Measure A, that the money is being controlled by the measure. Frankly, I mean, it's not being, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to, yeah, it says this, but really I want to use it for this. There's no choice there. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, the money's being controlled by the voters. I think it's important for us to realize we can't change history, but we can try to improve the quality of life for our community in the future. Measure A, by law, all of the proceeds that come in from Measure A have to go to new and additional programs and personnel. And so the pension obligation certainly is a serious issue, but that's not involved with Measure A. Measure A deals with new hires that are coming in at a much watered-down retirement and benefit package. And so over time, the pension obligation will get worked out. But in the meantime, and I keep going back to what I tell people all the time, what works? What will actually change our future here in Shasta County? And I'll touch briefly on Dr. Greenberg's expertise on drug addiction. And with Measure A, we're going to have an additional $1.2 million a year to deal with rehabilitation programs while people are in custody. So we get rid of the revolving door jail. We start helping people who need our help while they're in custody. And for me, that's a formula that works.
And just taking... And people say, well, why don't we just have a jail? And I think we touched on this earlier, but, you know, a jail is like a business. I can hire the best people here. I can buy all the best equipment. But if I don't have internet, telephones, electrical services, air conditioning to keep these things running and all that, then it doesn't do any good to just have this. I need a support system out there, just like you do in the military. That guy carrying the gun is supported by like 15 people behind him to make sure, or her, making sure that they have the supplies they need to accomplish the mission. So, that's my argument about it. You can't just have one unless you have a support system.
Our incarceration system is made up of a set of rules that we didn't make, and we have certain obligations. When we arrest somebody and lock them up, things have to happen in a timely manner. They have to be brought before a court. They have to be, you know, taken in. We have to have a district attorney's office to work up those documents to get them before a judge in a timely manner. They have to have a public defender system. All those pieces need to be in place in order for things to happen. You've got to have people working in the jail. You have medical stuff. All these things that have to happen in a well-defined environment to make this system work. You can't just lock them up.
Let's go to the phones. Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, good discussion. I really appreciate the sharing of knowledge. I got a quick question and a couple comments came up. I was hearing a discussion about all the funds for the Measure A has to go for, as defined, the new jail, new facilities, et cetera. And when I look at this document, it says renovation, repair, maintenance of existing county jail and adult detention facilities. It also says operation of existing county jail and adult facilities. That's not new money. That's old money. Another comment that was made earlier was 20 to 30 years, $15 million a year. That's $300 million to $450 million in 30 years. That's a ton of money, and that's not just for jail. So that's my concerns about this. We need to be truthful with this and look at this in detail, please.
Okay, Bob.
Thank you very much.
No, thanks a lot, Bob, for that question. Yeah, Steve?
I've talked to the sheriff, and I've talked to Joe Comenti and several of the people that are intimately involved with the future of our jail system. When they're talking about using the funds for existing programs, the only part that would literally apply to our current jail would be because they are down staffing. So some of that money could be used to bring their staffing up to where it should be. But other than that, all the other money that they're talking about is to remodel the two courtrooms that will become available and for 100
which is part of the existing jail.
Right,
that's
part of the
exactly.
existing facility.
And they had to build that flexibility into it to be able to operate. They can't just put everything in exactly specific language where it says we're going to have X number of jail beds, we're going to have X number of programs, because as things progress, they have to be able to have some flexibility.
The booking station, the kitchen, all of those things have to be renovated to serve, and that's part of the existing facility, but has to be renovated to serve the new population.
And this, I think this is important. Let's go back real quick on what you just said. That's really important because these are existing facilities that are going to be made into new jails, you know, 64 more beds. New, you know, the kitchen has to be enlarged, all of this. That's what it means when it talks about existing facilities. If they didn't have that part in there, then they'd have to literally build new facilities.
And Bob's comment was a good one about, well, we're talking about $300 or $400 million or whatever it is, and that's a lot of money. Well, a new jail is $80 to $100 million by itself without
right.
staffing it, without dealing with all the other things that have to be done for the district attorney's office, more prosecutors, all the infrastructure that's needed to make the local criminal justice system function. $300 or $400 million, unfortunately, is what it's going to take.
But people do not understand the requirements of when someone is incarcerated, the things that are required that we have to have for them. 24-hour accessibility, 24-hour all kinds of medical staff. They have to have availability for clergy. They have to have a full functioning law library and accessibility to it 24/7. There are so many things that are involved in a jail, let alone a prison system, that we're required by law.
Exercise requirements. They're talking about pushing more people out of the jail and keeping them in adjacent facilities like in other counties. And they're going to do that. That's part of the plan. But the bottom line on that is they've got to meet certain requirements to ship them out. You can't be sick. You can't be mentally unstable that they can't, you know, be, you know, that they're going to need extra help. They've got to be not a threat to other people. I mean, this kind of limits the amount of people you can put in there.
Another point I'd like to make is that I think people perceive this as we're trying to spend a lot of money just for the purpose of spending money. It's like we're wanting to have some kind of this utopia. From my standpoint, having been in the system 20 and 30 years ago, what our sheriff and our chiefs and our DA are trying to do is just get what we had 30 years ago. That's what they're literally trying to do, because the manpower needs they have, the infrastructure needs they have, the training and equipment needs they have is so far behind where we were 30 years ago, they're just trying to play catch up.
And, you know, the cost of it, your groceries are not going to be taxed, you know, medical's not taxed. If you go down and buy a coffee, it will be, but it, you know, it comes up to like, you know, anywhere from $5 to $8 a month, depending on people. But Dr. Greenberg, you fully support this. Is this true?
I do. I'm a little ambivalent when I say that, just in the fact that as an addiction medicine physician, obviously incarceration is not something that we support in general. But really, I think we need something where we can get people treatment. So my support is hinged on the fact that we're not only going to incarcerate people who are committing crimes other than just being homeless, but committing crimes that are impacting our community. But on top of that, then getting them into treatment while they're there. And I think that would be a huge difference from what we're doing.
I want to address something we talked about in off the line a minute ago. You made a statement about, Steve, that in California, shoplifting is legal. And that's the image. People say, well, once we get them all locked up, why do we need all those extra police department people? Why do we need all those officers and sheriff's deputies? We addressed it and when we were talking about it off the line. There are so many things that are going on in our society that are totally unacceptable, which have become acceptable because we can't address them.
Shoplifting is certainly a problem, and it's – And it's not an easy, there's not an easy fix to it because a lot of the corporations don't want their employees detaining shoplifters because of the liability concerns. But I can say this, and again, I'll go back to where we were 20 or 30 years ago. We used to take shoplifters to jail.
Exactly.
And that doesn't happen anymore for all practical purposes. And so what you have is people who are homeless all over the country that find out you can go to Shasta County where shoplifting is allowed. They have a revolving door jail, and you can get all kinds of things donated to you from nonprofits, and you can use your welfare money or other sources of panhandling or whatever to buy drugs, and it's like this perfect place to go. And we're feeling the effects of that.
You can get $999 in your pocket and walk out the store, and nobody's going to stop you.
You know what? We're having to address at a local level a problem foisted on us by the state. This is, you know, with AB 109 that started it, and then the good citizens of Southern California, because it didn't pass up here in Northern California, AB 109, and I mean, not AB 109, but Prop 47 and 57. This is a way that we as a local community can address this. And one of the things I want to talk about when we get back from the break is, you know, oh, you're going to pick on the homeless. No, I think that people that are truly homeless are going to benefit from Measure A, and I'm going to talk about that when we get back. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, it's been there for a long time. It's the only place I've had my hair cut in 12 years. Why? Because they're just great people down there. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work on appointments, so you walk in, get your haircut, walk out, or like I do, I come in early, so I catch up my reading, catch up what's going on in the world. So if you give them a call at 244-9478 and talk to either Tim or Logan, great guys. And remember, it's man's last stronghold. We need one, and there it is, kind of like a man cave for a lot of us. We'll be right back, 8:45 in the morning. 52 degrees out there, going up to 80 degrees. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
The status quo has got to go. I'm Dale Ball asking you to vote for me as your District 2 County Supervisor. As a concerned citizen, I've attended countless City Council, Board of Supervisor, and Town Hall meetings. Seeing the need to remove the mess left behind by illegal encampments, I co-founded Shasta Support Service, which has removed hundreds of tons of trash, saving local property owners thousands of dollars in fines. I never dreamed of running for political office, but realized our elected officials should reflect the community they represent. I grew up in Shasta County, graduated from Anderson High School, and went off to earn a paycheck each week like many of you. I believe in evidence-based solutions to improve our public safety. I have witnessed the impact of homelessness and addiction firsthand. I have seen what works and what only enables bad behavior. Are you better off than you were 12 years ago? Has the county represented your interests? I ask you to vote March 3rd for Dale Ball for District 2 County Supervisor, paid for by Dale Ball for Supervisor 2020.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
My name is Krigel Murrah. I am a senior deputy district attorney here in the North State. I am personally endorsing Dr. Danuka for California State Assembly. I have known Dr. Danuka and his family for years. I also know that Dr. Danuka enjoys a reputation as an outstanding physician who cares deeply about our community and the issues affecting it. Dr. Danuka is committed to making it safer for all of us by addressing the issues that matter to us, such as homelessness. During my time as a prosecutor, I've seen time and time again how homelessness contributes to the crisis of public health, safety, and security. As someone who has raised his family in the North State, Dr. Danuka is personally invested in making our community safer. Not only that, but he has both the compassion and leadership skills to get it done. I can personally vouch for his integrity and commitment, and I hope that you will join me in supporting Dr. Danuka. My name is Krigel Murrah, and I am personally endorsing Dr. Danuka for State Assembly. This message was paid for by P.K. Paul Danuka for Assembly 2020.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR. Today is the 27th of February. We've lost February. I know it just snuck past me somehow. It's 8:49
right
in the morning.
There with November and December.
Gosh, and, well, you know what? I had control over September, but that was it. I lost it after that. I don't know how this happens. The weather is absolutely beautiful. It's 52 degrees out there. It's going to be 80 degrees. It looks like we could go through the whole month of February without rain. The first time that they've had that in recorded history up here, recorded weather history. So, yeah, we're looking for rain if we can get it. If not, it's just going to be a beautiful weekend. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And Trish Clark and I are here with Steve Davidson, a retired law enforcement, and Dr. Greg Greenberg, who works in the emergency room at Shasta Regional and sees us every day. And also in the last 5 years has been working very, very closely in addictive medicine. And he's given us some great facts and figures here. But when I was talking about the homeless, we've always had homeless. The difference is that we have homeless that, you know, are being preyed upon by thugs and bad people out there. Those people are the ones that, you know, they come in there and they steal. They, you know, they do a number of things in our city. They're violent. That if those people are taken off the street, people that are truly homeless are not going to just be swept up and arrested. They're going to be, you know, if anything, they'll be a safer out there until we can work out how we help them, getting them off the streets. But it's got to, you got to take the bad ones off first. Let's go to the phones. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. I guess like critics of this proposition say, it's already getting away from the central issue, which is more jail space. Now it's into drug rehab. Personally, I've got a knowledge of people that use drugs for 50 years going back to Southeast Asia. A lot of us got off of it because it was situational. These Americans now, they're just spoiled in my book. But to be honest, I've never seen anybody with a chronic illegal drug habit that started in the United States didn't die of an overdose sooner or later. And the doctor that's treating all these people that go back 10, 12, 15 times to rehab knows it. Eventually they OD, and people aren't looking for that. If you want to get off drugs, there's plenty of programs to do it. Nobody helped me. I did it because I got out of the situation.
Okay, Richard.
And we're all considered drug addicts coming back from Vietnam anyway. In the 70s.
No, it's hard to get. I kind of consider you.
But, you know, if it gets any more expensive, anything that costs $300, I'm just going out of state to buy it because it's really that's too much now. It's reached the point where it's too much. And $300, I'm going out of state to buy that tax. That's all there is to it.
Okay, Richard.
You have a good morning.
Hey, by the way, Richard, I don't consider you a drug guy. I consider you a hero for serving in Southeast.
And thank you for your
service. Thank you for your service, buddy. Okay, great. He's been involved with this.
Yeah, and I think all of us who've seen people with substance use disorder, we see the ones that don't do well quite often, but there are plenty of stories from people who do well, and there's quite a few that I've seen. So, again, we'll go back to data because I believe in science. And if you look at medication-assisted treatment, so you look at buprenorphine, you look at methadone, and people who are on it are committing fewer crimes, are transmitting fewer diseases, they're getting back into society, being productive members of society, working, building back families, and hopefully not creating adverse childhood experiences for their children that will lead to the next generation of problems. So we know it works. It doesn't work for everyone. We've all seen the failures, but a fair percentage of people who legitimately want treatment, who seek treatment, and who work with treatment will get better. Another thing to keep in mind is not all substances are created equal. So the treatment for opioid use disorder, so heroin or pills, is absolutely by medication because we know it doesn't work with the standard NA type of treatment. However, alcohol, AA, social programs are really the treatment. Methamphetamines, also there's no medication that helps. It needs to be social model of treatment. So not all drugs are created equally.
What do you think about needle exchange? Good idea, bad idea?
So the people who are using the needles are going to use the needles no matter what. So this isn't – not doing the needle exchange isn't going to stop people from getting them. But then what happens is when people use dirty needles, then there's more transmission of hepatitis and HIV. And so we know that it decreases the transmission of diseases. It just makes us feel – kind of yucky as a society when we feel like we're enabling it, but really we're not enabling it by doing needle exchanges.
But what do you say to the fact that because of the needle exchange program, there are so many more needles out there that they're damaging themselves anyway? Why not just let them use the same needle and not have 25 needles that are out there left for people to pick up? That's a huge problem, the needles, the number of them, and where they're at in our society.
Yeah, and I really wish we could get people more responsible with their needles, which may have been the stupidest sentence I've ever said, but
but really
we can't. But the problem is these diseases aren't just going to stick with people with substance use disorder. So HIV, hepatitis, although we look on it as those people are a different segment of society, the more people that have that, the more it passes on to other members of society as well. And so it's not just protecting them, it's protecting society.
And drug abuse covers all stratas of society. I'm sure you've seen people from the highest economic side of Reading to the lowest.
Yes, I've seen judges, physicians, lawyers, nurses. It's we used to think of it as those people, and I keep saying that because that's kind of the stigma.
Yeah.
But we've reached a point now where almost everybody has a family member, someone they know, who has a substance use disorder, and their lives have gone off the rails. This affects everyone.
Steve, you got any final thoughts here?
Yeah,
and then I'll get back to the doctor.
Regarding the jail, I think people feel that some of us that feel we should not have a revolving door lack compassion for people with mental illness, people that are drug addicted. I personally don't think there's anything compassionate about enabling people to live on the street under their circumstances. So for whatever it's worth, I think we need to get rid of our revolving door jail, and we need to have the infrastructure to support additional jail space, and that is really the only reasonable solution to our problem, at least short term.
Regardless of whether they were on drugs or have mental health issues or what have you, if they have committed a crime, if they have impacted a citizen in Shasta County, they need to be held accountable.
Yeah.
Regardless of what made them do it.
We've got like 2 minutes left. Greg?
So I think this is a big thing that we have to remember is accountability, because that's how people end up getting off of drugs and alcohol, because it's easier to use. It's when you have an addiction, it's hard to get away from that addiction. And so as a society, we just need accountability, because I have four teenagers. I mean, that's how we teach our kids, is you learn if you do something wrong, something bad happens. If you do something good, something good happens. Yeah, and we need that in our society.
We've taken that sense of responsibility and the sense that, you know, actions have consequences away in many parts of our society. Anything from everybody getting an award, you know, for participation.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah, everybody getting a trophy to, you know, a lady asked me, she said, you know, a single mother said, what can I teach my son? What's the most important thing? And I said, if you can teach him responsibility, because responsibility for his actions, and that means interacting with females, interacting with society. And right now, a lot of that's gone. And so, yes, and I agree with what Richard said about some people. I mean, it they have to reach the point, and like the doctor said, where they've accepted the fact that they need help. The jail, helpfully, will get them sober enough that instead of going out and stealing $1,000 a day of stuff, we'll get them back. So I think we're all agreeing on this. I know people, I think, you know, people even opposing this want the best for our society here. But, you know, this I see as a positive step forward. You know, let the past go. You've got to.
We have to make the decision as a society to deal with the issue that we can control. We can do something to make a difference in our community by passing this. The cost to us is minimal. Because we're not talking, it's sales tax. Everybody coming through here is going to pay it. You're going to pay according to how much you spend.
I think we ought to look at TOT also. You know,
throw another, I think
we need to take a look at that to help it. Too. Anyway, Dr. Greg Greenberg and Steve Davidson, thank you so much for being with us today and taking the time to be here to, especially on the addictive side. And what this can do and the impact it has on people. And I think if you listen today, you learned a lot about why people, once they get on meth, it's so hard to get off. Everybody have a great day. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?